today. You survived the blizzard of 2018. Praise the Lord. And here you are in one piece. But we're glad you're here. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to come over with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, and while you're headed over there, I just want to remind you, all of our young adults are invited for lunch and fellowship after church next Sunday. We're getting ready to relaunch our young adults fellowship, and there are going to be weekly fellowship meetings that will be happening every Thursday evening starting in March. There will also be social gatherings at other times in the month, so reserve that date next Sunday. It's going to be at the Port Chester, the Coach Diner, there at 2 o'clock next Sunday. If you need directions, you can jump on the website. There's directions there. Don't forget also membership class next Sunday at 5 o'clock. If you worship with us regularly, you are a part of our church family, but if you've never gone through the membership class, then you're not officially a member of Harvest Time Church. If you're interested in becoming a member, call us at the church office during the week, and that's going to start at 5 o'clock next Sunday. We'll go for a couple of hours. We are not able to offer childcare, but we will be serving a light supper for you. All right, Luke chapter 19, I'm going to begin reading at verse 28. The Bible says, Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where, as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. My message this morning is entitled, Don't Miss Your Appointed Day. Don't miss your appointed day. Let's pray. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and help us as we look into God's word together. Father, we come to you in the beautiful name of Jesus. It's the name that opens heaven's door, Lord, to your people. We thank you for the gift of your word. Jesus, you said that the word of God is like seed, so we ask you to touch our hearts in these next few minutes. Would you let our hearts be good soil right now, soil that can receive and hold on to and bear fruit from the seed of the word of God. Lord Jesus, you said the words that you speak to us, they are spirit and they are life. So would you send your spirit now, minister life to us from the word of God. If you agree with that prayer, would you say amen and amen. Well, if you've been away on winter break, you may be wondering why we're sharing today from the story of what we call Palm Sunday and Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. After all, Palm Sunday doesn't come around for another few weeks. But there's a good reason why we're in this passage today. In this season of Lent, a season of spiritual preparation as we approach Good Friday and Easter, we're taking a special journey together. For the next few Sundays, beginning with today's message, we'll be walking with Jesus through the days of Passion Week. Now, that expression, Passion Week, doesn't really have to do with Christ's great love toward us, but it comes from Latin, where the word passion meant suffering. In other words, the passion of Christ is everything that Jesus suffered for us in order to bring us home to God, up to and including the cross. Over these next few weeks, we're going to see how Jesus spent the final 6 days of his earthly ministry. On each one of these Sundays, we're going to explore a different day of the Passion Week leading up to Jesus' death on Good Friday and his resurrection on Easter morning. So today I'm sharing about the Sunday of that week, and next week Pastor Glenn's going to share with you about Monday of Passion Week and so on. Each Sunday we're going to look at what Jesus did and look at what he experienced, and together we're going to be challenged by his words. To help you follow along with us and study the Passion Week in more detail, we've set up a special Facebook group where we're sharing scriptures and where we can talk together. The name of that group is The Last Days of Jesus, so you can search for it easily. If Facebook's not your thing, we're also leaving a handout in the lobby for you with scriptures for reading and meditation for each day of this coming week. So you can check that out in the lobby as you leave the building today, or just join that Facebook group and you'll receive it there. Every one of these messages as we take this journey together are going to be centered on Jesus, and we want to encourage you, invite someone to church who needs to hear about the love of Jesus Christ. Well, this morning we've read Luke's account of a scene that's familiar to every Christian, and it's a powerful picture. The three-year ministry of Jesus has rocked Israel, and now it's reaching its climax. Passover is approaching, and the capital city of Jerusalem is beginning to fill up with pilgrims who've come from all over the Roman Empire and even outside of the Roman Empire. During the Passover, every Jewish man was required to go up to the temple and celebrate how God had delivered his people from slavery centuries before under Moses. In obedience to that command, pilgrims were now flowing towards the city. And as the feast drew closer, they would swell Jerusalem from maybe 80,000 people, already chaotic, into perhaps 250,000. They would turn King David's city into a hotbed of devotion, mixed together with powerful resentment of the occupying Roman army. This was the most exciting Passover that Jerusalem had seen in centuries. For many years now, there had been a rising tide of anticipation. First, John the Baptist had come, seemingly out of nowhere, telling Israel to prepare the way because the Lord was about to appear. John had a massive impact, and the Gospels tell us that everyone was wondering if perhaps John himself might be the Messiah. But John denied it. John said, "No, somebody else is coming after me. He's somebody whose shoe I'm not even worthy to untie." And John said, "I've come to tell you about him." And then, just as John had predicted, the ministry of Jesus broke forth. And so every day the people of Judea saw a new miracle, a new demonstration of the love of God through the hands of the Master. You know, every time that he taught, every time that he confronted his adversaries, the crowds heard fresh wisdom, heavenly words that were never before spoken on this earth. The authority of God was administered through Jesus' command, and the power of God was released when he touched the leper and the outcast. If John's ministry had been surrounded by excitement, then the ministry of Jesus set Israel on fire. And his enemies plotted against him because they said, "The whole world has gone after him." But the common people testified in favor of Jesus, saying, "We have never seen it like this before in Israel." Now, as the Passover season began, the expectation reached its peak. Luke describes there the depth of feeling in verse 37. He says, "The whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." Not understanding what awaited Jesus, as we know what awaited him, we can imagine that the crowds wanted Jesus to use his power to destroy the hated Romans with fire. You know, on at least one other occasion, the people had tried to come and make Jesus their king. This was the perfect time, or so they reasoned. Hadn't the prophets foretold that one day the Messiah would stand upon the Mount of Olives as Jesus did that Sunday morning and then fight against the Gentile nations with the power of heaven? After all, what else could there possibly be left for Jesus to do? But Jesus came riding that day not on a white horse, but on the colt of a donkey. You see, it was the way that Israelite kings used to ride in times of peace. So yes, Jesus was fulfilling prophecies that day, but not prophecies of judgment. Instead, he was giving them a prophesied sign that he was coming to make peace. 5 centuries earlier, Zechariah the prophet had foreseen it. He said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus was coming to them that day in humility, coming to make peace between his heavenly Father and the human race that had gone astray from God. So now, for the first and only time, Jesus allowed himself to be proclaimed as king by the people. The crowd acclaimed him as the son of David, Israel's Messiah. It meant that they believed he was God's chosen king, anointed to bring deliverance to the people. And so they lifted up that cry, "Hosanna, Hosanna," a phrase that means "save us now," taken from Psalm 118, a psalm that was sung during the Passover season. You and I call it Palm Sunday because of the greeting that Jesus received. Waving palm branches and making a carpet out of your garments was the traditional way that people would greet victorious kings. And most of the crowd was rejoicing over Jesus with shouts of praise. A few were offended, to be sure. But you know, in that crowd, one man was overcome with sorrow. And that one man was Jesus himself. Jesus was overcome with sorrow because he could see what others could not. He was seeing the looming shadow of a cross. Jesus knew what nobody else there knew. He knew the spiritual needs of the people. He knew that sin had separated them from God and that they needed to be forgiven and made whole. Out of all the people there that day, only Jesus understood that he needed to gain heaven for us first before this world could be improved. Friends, you know, this is probably the only time in history that an entire city turned out for a parade without really knowing why. So as Jerusalem came into view, Jesus began to weep. The original Greek language here tells us that this was more than just a little moisture at the corner of your eye. This was crying with audible sounds. It was heartfelt sorrow. And as he wept, Jesus explained the reason for his tears. He was longing for the people to grasp, he said, the things that would give them peace. That's an old painting behind me. It's called "He Wept Over Her." And Jesus said, "If only you could understand what would bring you peace." I have good news for you today, church. In fact, I have the best news imaginable. Jesus is looking out over our city today. He's looking out over your homes. He's looking out over our hearts. And he's saying, "I've come to you today with an offer of peace. I've come with an offer of friendship from the God of heaven. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Jesus is saying to each one of us, "I want you to understand the things that will bring you peace." What are those things? I see three things within this story that will help us to experience God's peace and wholeness, and I want to share them with you. Three things we need to do to have his abundant life. And the first one is this: receive Jesus as God's appointed deliverer. The first thing we need to do is welcome Jesus as God's appointed deliverer. You know, if that Palm Sunday crowd was right about one thing, it was this. They knew that Jesus had been sent to demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. Jesus performed signs and wonders all across Israel, showing that God had sent him to set the captives free as he operated in the power of heaven. You know, as Jesus began his public ministry, he proclaimed that truth. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." The Gospels show us how Jesus was the deliverer in three different ways. First, that Jesus was the prophet of God. You know, the Bible says that Jesus didn't need anybody to tell him what was in men's hearts because he already knew. He revealed the secrets of men's hearts. Remember, the Samaritan woman at the well said about him, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done." Peter came to him one day because Peter had a little trouble with the tax man, you know. But Jesus already knew why he had come. Jesus called people out by name, even though he had never met them before. And he could uncover people's sins if he needed to. But instead, Jesus would rather show Nathanael that he knew all about Nathanael's prayer life. Jesus lived in perfect communion with his Father. And so Matthew tells us in his gospel that on Palm Sunday, the people said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth." Not only is he the prophet of God, Jesus was the great physician. He came with healing in his wings. People watched amazed as the dead were raised and lepers were made whole and people born blind began to see. You know, when Jesus healed people, he was showing us the heart of God. One man said to him, "Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I am willing. Be clean." Yeah, church, you know that we only know a fragment of the miracles that Jesus did to show us the goodness of God. John says at the end of his gospel that if everything Jesus ever did was written down, he said, "I suppose the whole world itself could not even contain the books that would be necessary to fill it up with the good record of what Jesus did." Jesus was God's appointed deliverer. He was the prophet, a healer, and he was also the divine invader. Jesus came to set the captives free. He showed his absolute authority over every unclean spirit, including Satan himself. The Bible says, "For this reason, the Son of God was manifested so that he might destroy the works of the devil." Matthew recorded how Jesus could heal the sick and cast out demons literally all night long. Matthew says in Matthew 8, "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, so that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'He himself took our infirmities and he carried our sicknesses away.'" Peter saw Jesus liberate tormented minds. And when Peter wanted to summarize the ministry of Jesus for some unbelievers, this is how Peter summarized the ministry of Jesus. He said, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing everybody who was oppressed by the devil because God was with him." No power of hell could stand against the Savior. Jesus said, "I watched, I beheld as Satan fell like lightning from heaven." And the ministry of Jesus, the deliverer, continues on today. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still heals the broken bodies. He still gives a word by his Spirit to open men's hearts. His name still sends the powers of hell fleeing in terror. Many people here in this room, I know, can testify of his delivering power. Sometimes he uses no human agents to do his mighty work, but other times we see people getting set free through the authority that he extends through his church. Jesus set the captives free in days of old, and he can do the same for you today. What plagues you today? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it pornography? Is it depression? Mental instability? He remains forever the Son of Righteousness, risen with healing in his wings for you. He can set you free. Will you receive him today? Will you welcome him as the deliverer and say, Hosanna, save me now? We're talking today about three things that will bring us God's peace. The first thing we need to do is welcome Jesus as God's appointed deliverer. The second thing is this: we need to receive Jesus as God's anointed king. Welcome him as God's anointed king. You know, we often call Jesus the Messiah, which means the anointed one. In ancient times, people would anoint kings with oil. They would pour oil over them as a sign that the Holy Spirit had come upon them to empower them for their mission. And it symbolized that they had been specially chosen and set apart. Messiah, you probably know, is a Hebrew word, but the Greek word for this idea is the word Christos, and that's where we get the word Christ from. Church, I want you to remember that every time you say the name Jesus Christ, you're really saying that he's Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus is the king that God has chosen. He's the one upon whom God has placed his seal of approval. He spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." He's the Son of God. He's the captain of the host. He's the Lord of the armies of heaven. He's our lawgiver and our judge. And everything obeys him by the Father's decree. In Hebrews chapter 1, we get a little window into heaven and see the coronation of Jesus. And the Father says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." In Philippians chapter 2, we read that God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Jesus himself said, all, everybody say all. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. And church, I want to suggest to you that that teaches us how we welcome him as king. Because we will never experience, friends, we will never experience God's peace, listen to me, until we are ready to obey Jesus Christ. Unless we obey his voice, we will never experience his promise of abundant life. I need to welcome Jesus as God's anointed king, and I need to acknowledge then that he is fully entitled to rule my life. He is authorized to be my captain. Can we welcome him that way? Have we realized yet, church, that there is wisdom, that there is safety in listening to the words of God's anointed king? How many of you know that we live in an independent age in which every man, every woman is encouraged to follow their own counsel and not inquire of the Lord? But we still need to look to his words, which Jesus said will never pass away. God had told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night." Why? "So that you may observe to be careful to do according to everything that is written in it." Jesus said, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and they beat upon that house, and it didn't fall because it was founded upon a rock." follow the word of the Lord. Honor the word of the Lord. Be willing to obey the word of the Lord. How many of you know the world is beginning to despise his ways? But the one thing that will keep us safe is to decide that God's way is the best way and commit to build our lives upon that word. Let's leave behind that salad bar mentality that says, oh, Pastor, I know the Bible says I shouldn't, but church, when we pick and choose between his commandments, I can almost hear Jesus saying, oh, if only you knew what blessedness could be yours. If only you knew the things that would bring you peace. If we call him Lord, then let's honor him. If we call him King, then let us live as though he has the right to rule. Only then can we experience his abundant life. Just as many people here, Jesus has proven himself to be God's appointed deliverer for you. There are many testimonies I know in this room of how people began to be blessed once they honored him as King and started doing things God's way. And they found a better pathway for themselves and for their families. Maybe you once knew that truth and you wandered away from it. Maybe you're telling yourself today that you've built a life for yourself without God's interference, but deep down you know there's no peace in it. And maybe you've never known God in a personal way and you're wondering if Jesus can really help you. I'm here to tell you today that he can and he will. See, aren't you tired of the burden that's been put upon you by the world, by others, by yourself? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and you will find rest for your souls because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Somebody woke up in this room this morning and said, I can't do this anymore. I can't carry this burden. But Jesus says to you, my burden is light. Will you welcome him as King and say, Jesus, I acknowledge you as Lord and I surrender to your kingship. Teach me how to live. Three things that will bring us God's peace. Welcome Jesus as God's appointed deliverer. Welcome him as God's anointed King. And finally this, receive Jesus as God's accepted Lamb. We need to welcome Jesus as God's accepted Lamb. This was the great mystery of Palm Sunday that was hidden from the crowd. You see, Jesus wasn't riding into Jerusalem that morning as the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, trampling his enemies. He was coming as the Lamb of God, coming to take away the sins of the world. But if anyone had ears to hear that Sunday, the mystery would have been revealed because there was another noise that the people could have heard after the shouting stopped, and it was the sound of sheep. The Passover was coming that week, and so people were preparing to slaughter and eat the Passover lambs. The church, the number of lambs was staggering. You know, the Romans were curious about it, watching this amazing festival from year to year. And so one time they conducted an investigation into how many lambs were killed at the Passover. And you know, the number came to about 250,000. Literally, millions of people might be eating that Passover meal in and around Jerusalem. Now, in the law of Israel and the law of Moses, God had given specific instructions as to how to eat the Passover and when to do it. Passover was celebrated on the 14th day of the month of Nisan. Now, that's Nisan with one S, not Nissan like the car, right? But something important happened a few days earlier on the 10th of the month. On the 10th of Nisan, the Israelites were commanded to bring the lambs into their dwellings, into their homes. In Exodus chapter 12, God said to Moses, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb for a household. And that 10th day of Nisan was called the Lamb Selection Day. On the 10th of the month, people brought a lamb into their homes, and they inspected that lamb to make sure that it had no blemishes. And for the rest of that week, until Passover, the lamb would live with that family, and they would grow attached to it. On that particular year, the 10th day of Nisan, the Lamb Selection Day, fell upon a Sunday. In fact, it was Palm Sunday. Think about it. While the Passover lambs were being brought into the city from the place where they were raised, which was nearby place you might have heard of called Bethlehem, Jesus, God's Passover lamb, who was also born in Bethlehem, was being brought into Jerusalem as well. What a God and what a plan. Jesus was inspected that week like every other lamb that was brought into the household. As he entered Jerusalem, the people testified that he had no blemish. In just a few more days, Pilate too would say, "I find no fault in him." He was the spotless Lamb of God, tempted just like we are in every way, the Bible says, and yet without sin. He lived among the people there, just like the Passover lambs lived in every Jewish home and probably became a child's pet. Every day of that Passion Week, Jesus was teaching the people, and they grew accustomed to having his face and his voice in their midst, just like Jewish households and the little children got used to having a lamb in their midst. On that first Passover in Egypt long ago, the Israelites had placed the blood of a lamb upon the doorpost because God had said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And if they were faithful to obey his command that night, God's angel of judgment would indeed pass over their house. Church, I want to tell you, so it is with Christ. Upon the cross of Calvary, God placed my sins and yours upon Jesus, the innocent lamb. He allowed himself to be bound so that we could go free. He allowed himself to be struck so that we could be healed. The Bible says that we all deserved the penalty of death for our sins. But it also says that the Father laid upon him, upon Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And now death can pass over me the way that it passed over Israel on the night of the Exodus. You see, when we apply the blood of Jesus to our lives, to the door of our hearts, God passes over us. When we make that blood our sacrifice, God will not enter into judgment with us anymore. Instead, he is now free to offer us forgiveness, offer us peace, and offer us sonship. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then the holy God, who the Bible teaches us must punish sin and cannot overlook it, then God has already expended all of his righteous wrath against sin, against you. You see, he poured out his wrath for sin once and for all upon his own son, who endured it voluntarily for you. The Bible tells us, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God accepted that sacrifice of Jesus in our place. This is the good news of the gospel. In Isaiah 53, we read, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Jesus was God's accepted lamb. Will you receive him today as deliverer and king? Will you receive him as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice that God accepted on your behalf? Church, none of us can earn heaven. Even the most moral of us has fallen short of what a holy God demands. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there's not one of us who can present a sacrifice of blood or of money that can open heaven's door to you. But thank God there is a sacrifice he has already accepted in my place. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Worship team, you can come back, please. So church, as we close this morning, I want to urge each one of us to come to him. Or maybe for some of us to come back to him. Jesus said in verse 42 of Luke 19, he says, if you had known, especially in this your day, the things that make from your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Anybody here ever missed an important appointment? I know I have. You ever get that phone call? Where were you? I've been here waiting for you for an hour. What happened to you? Oh, that was today? Maybe you're 40-something years old and you're still having that dream that you missed your final exam, you know? You see, Jesus is talking here about an appointment that we dare not miss. And this morning, Jesus is riding past your heart, just as he rode past the crowd on the 10th day of Nisan. And the Spirit of God is whispering to our hearts the very same thing that he whispered to the crowd on that first Palm Sunday. This is the deliverer who can set you free. The king you must obey, and the sacrifice that can take away your sin and unite you again to God. How will we answer to that invitation? The Bible says, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Jesus said it was a special day, and so it really was. It was an appointed day. Jesus said it was their day. You know, Jesus fulfilled an amazing Bible prophecy that day. You can study it in Daniel chapter 9, where the prophet Daniel was told by Gabriel, the angel, that God was giving Israel a mission. Wish we had time to go into all that today. We really don't. But God was giving Israel 490 years to fulfill that mission. Don't get thrown off by that number. It does have a significance, but we don't have time to explore it today. Here's what you need to know for today, though. The angel told Daniel that after 483 of those years passed, the Messiah would come and be killed. However, Gabriel said he would not be killed for himself. Now that's a really remarkable prediction, isn't it? Most Jewish people don't know that their own scriptures predict that the Messiah would be killed for the sake of other people. And here's what may be the most remarkable part about it. The angel told Daniel when the countdown would begin so that people could keep track of it. When we study it out, we discover something truly astonishing. Those 483 years after which Messiah would come end on a very important date. In fact, it's the very date we've been talking about all morning. Bible scholars tell us that those 483 years ended in the same year that Jesus died, and they ended on the 10th day of the month of Nisan. In other words, this ultra specific prophecy of Daniel was fulfilled exactly on Palm Sunday, just as the people, some of them, were welcoming Jesus of Nazareth as Israel's Messiah. And just 5 days later, Jesus would indeed be killed, but not for himself. Not only did Daniel predict the year that Jesus would be proclaimed as Messiah, he called it down to the exact day. But most of Israel missed what Jesus called the day of their visitation. And so because they didn't embrace him instead, his prophecy of judgment came to pass instead. The Romans would soon destroy Jerusalem. In less than 40 years, they would dig a trench around the city just as Jesus had predicted and trap everybody inside until they starved over 1 million people. And as Jesus also said, the temple was then destroyed so completely that literally not one stone was left standing on top of another stone. Jesus said, if you had known, listen, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. See, Palm Sunday was their day. It was a prophesied day that proves the Bible is true, by the way. It proves that Jesus is Israel's Messiah. And listen, church, that was their day, but tragically, they missed their appointment. Church, I want to tell you that by the grace of a living and loving God, today is your appointed day. Don't miss your appointed day the way that Israel missed hers. The Messiah has come to you today with an offer of peace from heaven. Jesus wants to be your healer also today. Will you receive God's appointed deliverer? He wants to be your king today. He wants you to be blessed as you obey his words of life. Will you receive God's appointed king? First of all, Jesus wants to be your Savior today. He wants you to be born again through the sacrifice of his blood upon the cross. Will you receive God's accepted Lamb? Today, Jesus is looking out at us with love, just as he looked out over the city on that very first Palm Sunday. Now he wants us to know his peace. He's God's appointed deliverer. He's God's anointed king. And he's God's accepted Lamb. Welcome him today, because today is your day. Don't miss your appointed day. Come on, let's stand together. Give Jesus some praise in his house.